the opportunity that we have to be in your house and to hear the message that you have given Peter. We pray that you will anoint him and that you will enable him to share your word with us from his heart and guided by the Holy Spirit. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Morning, y'all. I was going to walk up here with a baseball bat in hand, but I couldn't find, even Claire helped me. We went to the kids' rooms and the cupboard, and we couldn't find a baseball bat. Huh? I was walk up here because I'm pinch hitting today. Huh? It is sports time. It seems you can't in Kentucky, you can't get away from sports at all. Don't mention the basketball. Okay. Okay, so I won't mention basketball. But I do like baseball. Today apparently is a big day in American sports for something that has a rugby ball that's kind of shaped. American football. The Super Bowl's today, I believe. Is that correct? Okay, just double checking. But one thing about sporting events is they do affect our lives, because we do place our trust in the coaches and the teams and how well they do, whether they win, or even if they lose, it affects our lives for a short time. But our trust in the Lord is for eternity. When we place our trust in him, it's forever. And the message today is two words, refuge and trust. Unfortunately, we don't have a presentation today for the notes, so if you have Bibles, please feel free to follow along. Our first passage is in Isaiah 57, the book of Isaiah 57, and just one verse there, that the verse says, "When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." So Isaiah has a message from the Lord and to the people of Israel, the people of faith at the time. And he says, if you have idols, winds will blow them away. And it's the same with our lives. If we have any idols, anything in our lives that takes away from the Lord, a wind can take them away. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land. Where does our trust lie? In him. He said, if you put your trust in me. By the way, I am reading from the New King James. And I say that for a certain reason. Because when you look at different translations, they have different words. The New King James says, puts his trust in me. But like the ESV, the NASB says, but he who takes refuge in me. Hence why I'm using both words at once. They're quite interchangeable. They have slightly different meanings, but they're quite interchangeable in translations. So it's either put your trust in or have refuge in. Put his trust. The Hebrew word here means to flee for protection, to confide in, or to have hope. And that's why I was so glad that when I did agree to pinch hit for this message, the message fits into the hymns very well too, because our opening hymn was my hope is in the Lord. So we do have hope in him. We put our trust in him. I won't bore you with too many statistics, but the word refuge occurs like 36 times in the Old Testament. But in the English translation of our Bible, in the New King James, the words refuge and trust together occur 186 times. So it's quite a big study in the Word of God. When we talk about refuge, There were six cities of refuge mentioned in the Old Testament, and they were mentioned in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and in Joshua. I know Aaron had a fun time teaching the teen class about the cities of refuge in this city of Joshua. And she taught them, like the word says, that if a person accidentally killed someone and needed a place of refuge, they would go to the cities of refuge and could stay there. There were certain conditions, but they could stay there and be safe. And that is the same with ourselves. We are safe in the Lord. We have a place of refuge to go to. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but back in 2004, Aaron and I had been in a house about 2 years. We moved into our house in 2002. And in 2004, I think it was October, a big tornado hit Lexington. It started off down our street, hit our street, and our house was affected. Aaron, a musician, could actually hear the wind change. And our house got hit. In that, before that moment, we took refuge in that bathroom with all our pillows and everything in the Lord. Because believe me, we were praying. We were praying as that tornado hit. 10 seconds, but it felt like 10 minutes, 10 hours. I mean, it felt like a long time. But when we went out safe, that was a physical security. We took refuge in Him and He helped us. So, when we take refuge in the Lord, there's an eternal matter to it, but there's also a physical matter to it too. We place our trust and our hope in Him. As the verse says in Isaiah, our idols are like chaff in the wind. They just blow away, but our trust is in Him. So as we think about that, let's look at 2 Samuel. So our next section is in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. This is called the Song of David. We won't read it all, but we'll read verses 2 to 4. The same similar wording is also found in Psalm 18. But in 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, we read this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And I promise Ada, I would not sing that last two lines, because we all have the chorus in our heads now. I'm sure we do. But this is a wonderful picture of who we place our trust in. There's so much strength in these verses that winds could not blow our Lord away, because He is the rock, He is our fortress. And there's a picture behind me. I believe Dawn said it was a picture of Scotland, so I'm feeling very homesick. But you see here cliffs and rocks and high places. Obviously, I didn't have time to do a presentation, but Dawn was very good in helping me with this picture. All these words here, and I won't go to all the meanings of all the words, but they all have a common theme. Rock means a craggy rock or a high place. There's a fortress being mentioned, which means a castle. There's a horn, the horn of salvation. Now, the horn here is not like a musical instrument horn. It's a high place, a place of security at the peak of a mountain. So when we place our refuge, our trust in the Lord, we place it in a very secure place. That's a picture that David is bringing out here. He's the God of our strength. He's our stronghold. And of course, he does say, my Savior. David had been running from Saul for many, many years before this. But the Lord helped him hide in high places, to hide in craggy rocks. The Lord gave him physical protection. But the Lord is also our protection for all eternity. When it mentions the horn of salvation, we think of Luke 1:69. I'll just read that out. Luke 1:69 says, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And that's Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, that he is full of the Spirit and is declaring that he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ for us is that horn of salvation. We have placed our trust in him. Let's move on to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 4. When I was a young believer, I remember reading this verse and just loving it from day one, the picture of it. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Most commentators think it's like a picture of a mother hen with her feathers, her wings, the strong part of her wings covering the little birds. Some commentators also think of it as more angelic wings. Either way, it's a picture of strength. He says, "He shall cover you with his feathers," or his pinions, his strong parts of his wings. And that cover is all around. It means to fence in, to cover over. We have full protection in the Lord. And under his wings, we shall take refuge. We should have a safe place to be. His truth shall be your shield. And it's a picture of a large shield that really protects me, protects the whole body. And the word buckler here is really, there's some debate. It's either a small shield, I'm not sure if it's necessary because you have a large shield anyway, or it's an area around you, like a mound, that protect is a first protection. Huh? So there's multiple pictures there. But his truth shall be our shield and our buckler. His truth protects us. Let's go to Hebrews 6. If I'd done pictures with a longer message, because I'd have loved to have shown all these craggy rocks and all these high places. I'd love to have shown that and just have a visual of his protection. But you can see the cliffs here, very high, very impenetrable. I was telling Don that that's my picture of a seaside. His is more like Hawaii. Hebrews 6 and verse 17 says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we may have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Again, I will not sing. But I was in the Boys' Brigade as a young boy, and I did love singing that hymn at the time with all the Boys' Brigade. But God here in Hebrews is talking to the people, the heirs of promise. This is a word that kind of means followers of Abraham, following the faith of Abraham, both in the Old Testament and in the new, that's us today. We are heirs of promise. And God is showing us by two elements. And the two elements are his word and his oath. He adds an oath to his word to strengthen our protection. When we go to him, we have absolute sure hope. And as we mentioned, we sang that for hope, that hymn, "My hope is in the Lord." And surely it is. It is an anchor. It keeps us secure. We talked about winds in the first verse. Winds come along and buffet us, and winds of life do hit us. Unfortunately, Adrian went through a car accident. I know somebody else here who did too recently. And there's other things in life that hit us. But we have an anchor that keeps us secure in him, that keeps us going for him. And we have a refuge in him. And he says to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. And we have to do that. I can tell you more details later, but when I moved to America in 99, in the year 2000, I had to have an operation in my eye. And that operation was going to cost $10,000. I had no health insurance, I had no savings, but the Lord took care of it. The Lord helps us. Huh? If you want to know more about that story, see me later. But we do place our trust in the Lord. Huh? And talking of that, just only because I'm up here and because of last Wednesday. Last Wednesday was January the 31st, 2018. But in January the 31st, 1988 is when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So Wednesday was 30 years. And I acknowledge that online, I acknowledge it here. I've gave testimony here before. But for 30 years, He has been my trust. He has been my refuge. Of course, unfortunately, I have failed Him. I have not been perfect, but He has been perfect. And we have to remember that. The testimony is about Him. Boy MacDonald, a good commentator, says regarding Hebrews 6, these are true believers that are pictured as fleeing from this doomed world to the heavenly city of refuge. And to encourage them in their fight, God has given them unfailing hope based upon His word and His oath. So we have that trust in Him. And the last section we'll go to is Psalm 118. Very small section in Psalm 118 and verse 8. By way, the context here is the building of the temple back in 515 BC. And by the way, Art, thank you so much for last year and teaching us about Nehemiah and the temple. I got so much out of that study. It was wonderful to see how the Lord worked through His people. The people were trying to build the temple. The people around them were a bad influence. They were trying to stop the work. The governors and the princes around them were trying to stop it as well by their own political and army means and strength in numbers. But the people of Israel, as they were trying to complete the temple, put their trust in the Lord, and He gave them strength. And Psalm 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." You can also take that many ways. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in the Lord. We don't trust in others. There's those we can have guidance from, but our ultimate trust is in the Lord. And the question I'll leave you with is, in whom or what do we place our trust? And who do we go to for refuge in our lives? Even as believers, it's very easy when troubled times come, when that winds come, when the trials of life come, who do we go to for that refuge? Not just for eternal security, but even in the day-to-day life that we live here today. But we do place our trust in the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Holy Father, we do thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your word and for these passages regarding refuge and trust. We do thank You, Lord, that we can trust in You and have that absolute sure hope that Hebrews talks of. We do thank You, Lord, that we have a refuge, the same refuge that David talked of in 2 Samuel and also in the Psalms. Lord, he had an absolute refuge in You in times of trouble. And Lord, we thank You that we have that too by faith. We do thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is that horn of salvation. And we do thank You, Lord, for the trust that we have placed in Him for now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.